grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of Sports 180, rocking and rolling right through the week. And it's been a roller coaster, and we keep riding the wave there. Vince Ferrara joining me today, as well as Sam Foreman back at the Budweiser Studios. But Vince, happy Thursday. Friday is on the horizon.
Yeah, this week has flown by. There's just so much that's happened this week and we reacted to. But anyway, good to be on with you.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There are still no sports, you know, in any major capacity. We have plenty to talk about. So it's wild, but hey, we will continue on as there is a lot going on in the sports world right now. So let's go ahead and take a look around.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
So not news that you want to hear, but Oklahoma State was testing all of their football players as they returned to campus earlier this week. Three asymptomatic football players tested positive for COVID-19. So none of them had symptoms. If you were just doing temperature checks, they would not have been detected with that because obviously they don't have any symptoms. So Vince, this is kind of a tally in the mark of you've got to test everybody the minute they get back on campus.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if these were initially maybe temperature tests and that and then you took them to the COVID, or if they're just going straight to the COVID.
They wouldn't have a temperature. If they're asymptomatic, that means there's no symptoms, which means a temperature check would not be detected, correct?
I don't know. Maybe you can have a temperature and not have any of the symptoms for COVID. I don't know from that standpoint. But at least they're doing the COVID testing and making sure. I think the Marshall cases were also asymptomatic. So it just shows that it's the right move to get everyone checked prior to engaging with everybody else.
Well, and the fact that you still have literally no universal policy. I mean, every school is being left up to however they want to operate this, which I think could end up being really bad, because you will have some schools that really go above and beyond and making sure that there are regular tests, and then you will have other schools doing the bare minimum because of cost. And I understand it, but I think there definitely needs to at least be a conference universal standard set by all the conferences, including the Power Five. But we'll see what happens as the three Oklahoma State football players testing positive for COVID-19, now in isolation. Drew Brees made some comments yesterday on protesting during the national anthem that drew a massive amount of criticism. It has been what everybody has been talking about. We'll go over what his comments are. He has already issued an apology, but man, it seems for some people it might be too little too late. Just your quick thoughts on Drew Brees.
Yeah, there's a lot of levels of it we'll get into later, but at least he did issue the apology. I've also seen some players react to it and say, look, Drew has asked about how to call to action. So I think this is something that's going to need some continued work on. But there's just a lot of strong reaction on both sides of it. And it's a little surprising that we heard that from Drew Brees. But, there's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah. There has, for an extended period of time, been a lot of racial tension in Missouri. The University of Missouri has had to shoulder a lot of that through the years, and it has affected attendance, enrollment, and different things. Well, yesterday, I think Eli Drinkwitz really made a powerful statement, and I definitely supported this. Missouri football players actually did a march protest, but guess what, Vince? They marched to be able to register to vote. He took them to register to vote. I think that is awesome.
But it's awesome. It's productive. And it, you know, so often there are people that are either talking or doing action, but you still need to get to the point to where you can make a difference in your own voice. And that's a big way to be able to do so. It doesn't guarantee anything. So I love how productive it was. It was different. And that the head football coach was behind it. Very well done by Mizzou.
So a 100 emoji beside Eli Drinkwitz's name. And I guess you could put the poop emoji, or at least that's what one of his players did, beside some comments made by Mike Norvell. Now, the details on this are really interesting. He made some comments to The Athletic about contacting each player individually to go over what had happened with George Floyd and just kind of reach out to each of his players. He said he did it individually. Marvin Wilson says, no, that's some poop. He did not do that. And guess what? Now we're not working out until this is made right.
Yeah, that was something you don't often see, is college players outing their coaches. Now, we'll see if Mike Norvell walks back his comments, clarifies them, but it was in an interview with The Athletic, and it is not going over well. And then, of course, some people are trying to pin this back on the reporter and saying that the reporter needed to check the facts. Check what facts? Mike Norvell said what he did. You put the statement out there. That's not, you didn't lose any steps in reporting. This is what you said you did? Okay, I'm going to let everyone know about it. You can make your own judgment. So again, this one still needs a lot of playing out.
Not good. This is a new coach going into a new year there, Vince Ferrara.
Yeah, this is another reminder. You need to be who you are in all venues, because especially today, it's going to get put out there, and if you didn't do it, there's your fact checking and then that will come out. So it's got to be really careful. You got to be real. Something that Jeremy Pruitt mentioned yesterday, and people know you got to be real.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We are going to play some comments not only from Jeremy Pruitt today during the Big Orange Connect event that they did, but also from Rick Barnes. And there were a lot of people that participated. I hope you were able to watch it live. If not, we have all of that up on our website, correct, Vince, at 991thesportsanimal.com.
Yep, that's right. Just go to the audio section, Vols interviews and more. There's six different interviews with Bob Kessling, Philip Fulmer, a number of the coaches, Jeremy Pruitt, Rick Barnes, and others.
And even so Chancellor Plowman, correct?
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And so, Charles Davis.
Yeah. So make sure you check that out. That was really cool. And it's worth the listen just to hear Rick Barnes roast Bob Kessling again. Bring on basketball season. I have missed Rick Barnes harassing Bob Kessling. I don't know if Bob can say the same, but he takes it all very much in stride. Love that.
Does.
So I love the banter back and forth. And last but not least, Dick Vitale saying LSU has been given their notice of allegations relating to men's basketball, Vince.
I think people are a little skeptical that LSU is going to get hit hard based on the fact that Will Wade is still walking around as LSU's coach. So we'll see. But it's interesting that Dick Vitale was the one to kind of break this news.
I know. Dick Vitale, still well connected. He got that news and put it out there on his Twitter account. I looked. Blue check mark. So it was definitely him. That's our look around the sports world. I got to tell you about some guests coming up today at 12:30. We're going to call a Vol. The one and only Kurt Majette is set to join us, so we are very much looking forward to that. Back in Knoxville, he is still participating in the MBA program at the University of Tennessee. So we'll catch up with Kurt Majette at 12:30. Mike Strange, former Knoxville News Sentinel reporter, now with the Hall Shopper. He is going to join us at 1 o'clock to reflect on the life and times of Johnny Majors. That was just still such an incredible day yesterday, reliving so much of that Tennessee history. And I know that, you know, we still send our condolences and thoughts and prayers to the family. And we know that they're hurting right now. But it was just such a really neat time to be able to enjoy some history on Johnny Majors. And then as well as John Wilkerson, a little extended time for Mr. Wilkerson today. He's going to join us at 1:30. And then Alan Bell from Sportsline is set to join us at 2:30. We'll be back. You're going to hear from Jeremy Pruitt coming up next on The Sports Animal.
We're social. Follow, connect, and rub online elbows with the show on Facebook and Twitter at Sports 180. Now back to Josh and Heather.
University of Tennessee hosted the Big Orange Connect event yesterday digitally. Online, and it was really a neat thing to hear from so many influential people at the University of Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt, along with Rick Barnes, Philip Fulmer, Chancellor Dondi Plowman, among some others. Remember, you can log on to 991thesportsanimal.com. We're going to play a lot of Jeremy Pruitt's comments today because he touched on a lot of different subjects there, Vince. I know you were listening in real time. But he talked recruiting, he talked getting the team back together and guys arriving back on campus. He also wanted to talk about the ongoing and forthcoming action that he plans to take with the Tennessee football team on creating change when it comes to social injustices. Here is Coach Pruitt last night.
Well, you know, we addressed it last Friday. We had a Zoom call and you know, just talk to the team. And, you know, one of the things that I like to talk about things and I like to put it out there. And, you know, I don't know how you can't be angry right now at what's going on in our country. If you're not angry, then something's probably wrong with you. If you just watch the news every week, you know, there's been senseless murders across our country over the last 2 or 3 months. And, you know, it's not like this is something that, just started happening. It's been going on for a long time. And, you know, I said it the other day, the young people are ticked off. The old people are mad. The black people are mad. The white people are mad. Everybody's mad. You know, I just, I was talking to my dad about it and, you know, I just told him, I said, I'm glad my grandfather's not alive to see this. But it's something that we've got to use our platform at Tennessee, and something our players have passion about and the coaches on our staff. And, you know, we've actually today, Coach T. Martin is going to head up a group within our program. And so we can come up with ideas and we can be progressive and maybe we can set the standard to UT and on what change is supposed to look like.
That was Jeremy Pruitt yesterday on the Big Orange Connect event that was hosted by Bob Kessling and presented by the University of Tennessee Athletics Department. We will say as well, you heard him mention T. Martin kind of heading up, I'll call it a task force. I mean, he wants to generate ideas, put those ideas into motion, into action. So he is going to head that up to see how Tennessee can make some positive changes and what they can do. He'll be on Sports Talk today, Vince, at 3:35. So everybody set your alarms to hear from T. Martin, 3:35 with John and Jimmy. What were your thoughts hearing Jeremy Pruitt's comments last night?
I thought they were excellent. And, you know, he said, I don't know how you can't be angry right now. If you're not angry, that's probably there's probably something wrong with you. And it's anger because racial discrimination is wrong. So it's been going on for so long, and it has to stop. And leading to police brutality and these deaths, and it's a excellent message from Coach Pruitt. And he talked about what T. Martin is going to do. They want to set the standard for change, and that action is important. People talk about, oh, it's words don't matter, it's about action. I don't agree with that. I think both can be very useful right now.
And powerful, yes.
And powerful. And it's progress. People are coming from different points. So if the words, if that's progress and it can influence others, I'm not going to dismiss the usefulness and the power of words. However, you also still want that to ultimately lead to action, to change, so we can make this horrible wrong right. And Jeremy Pruitt, I think, gets it. And I think T. Martin is an excellent person to lead the way in this. He's intelligent, and I think he has such a great connection to players.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, I think it's because he relates to the players, obviously. Being a black quarterback at the University of Tennessee, I mean, that's not a long list, or a black quarterback in the SEC, a black national championship quarterback. I mean, it's not a long list that he is on. So I think him having that role – through his life. And then also we hear about the relationships he builds on the recruiting trail. Those still exist when his players get to campus. So I think he's maybe the perfect guy on the staff to be able to head this up. And I'm anxious to see what they do. And I hope they make some positive steps. I mean, I'm really rooting for them, because I think when you boil it down, Vince, and anybody that's like upset over maybe the players being upset, you just really need to reevaluate it, because boil it down, these people live in our community for the better part of 8 or 9 months a year. If they don't go home, maybe they're here 12 months a year. We want our athletes to feel safe in this community, right? I mean, just at the bare bones, you want them to walk around feeling safe, appreciated. You know, I just think it's still, bottom line, treat people how you want to be treated. That's all we're talking about here.
Absolutely. And it's about doing the right thing. And then having those things for others. For a lot of people, it's doing the right thing. For everybody, it should be. But you also want it to lead to changing the structure that is putting in place police brutality. I mean, we too often, I think, we get lost. People so sidetracked by this person said this person this thing, and this person said this thing, or hey, I don't relate to that, or whatever. You overreact to one thing, and it takes you away from what the big purpose that we're trying to fix, and that's police brutality and racism in this country. So, I think these are great steps by the university, and we do want the student athletes that are here to feel safe. You hope that's the case in all communities, and we do that everywhere.
Yeah, but it's got to start somewhere, and I think if you look on a micro level, to where you're really just, hey, what can I do? You know, find an organization that you can support. I think what Eli Drinkwitz did yesterday is just, it's nothing short of incredible, encouraging his guys to get registered to vote, showing them how to do that. Some people might not know how. And the fact that they took their time, like, this is how you make real change, you know, really imploring them. I mean, don't you remember back during, I guess it was 16, the election, when Will Muschamp, somebody asked him about, have you talked to your team about the importance of voting? And he goes, I didn't even know today was election day. It was like, it's the same day every 4 years. Like, what are you talking about? And so I think that standard doesn't fly anymore.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point, Heather, because now I hopefully through all of this, we're raising the bar for what everyone should do and what should be expected. And people in position of power and leadership, there's more than just coaching football. I'm sorry, you can't be at a big-time program and just be a football coach and then block out the rest of the world.
Not anymore. You're right.
Nope.
Yeah, everything has changed. It's changed in a short period of time. And they're going to have to grasp that and grapple with it and figure it out. But just like Jeremy Pruitt kind of giving T. Martin this responsibility and him kind of giving him power in that regard, that's a right move. That is a good first step. So we'll see how it's all followed up. When we come back, we're going to call Aval, one of the most positive people and I think a natural leader that's ever played at Tennessee. I mean, he is up there with just some of the best. It's Kurt Majette. Now, I know his career hampered by some injuries, but still just somebody that is a natural leader that is, you know, hoping to find his voice in all of this and see what he can do. Back at the University of Tennessee, finishing out at business school, we're going to talk to Kurt Majette coming up next. This is Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
93 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Made you stand up and cheer and gave you memories to last a lifetime. But where are they now? Sports 180 plays catch up with those that have worn the orange. Here's today's Call of Vol.
780 on the Sports Animal. Heather Harrington along with Vince Ferrara today. You heard the sounder. We have dialed his number up, and Kurt Majette joins us on the Stanley Fenton Gates hotline. Kurt, just right off the bat, what has this last week been like for you, and have you learned anything about yourself while you've been dealing with and processing what's been going on in the country?
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having me. Hope you're well. So the last week has been emotionally draining, pretty exhausting, just to see, you know, everything that's been happening. And but have I learned anything about myself? I can't really say so. It's the thing that's been going on for a long time, and I've been aware of it, you know, just, you know, having my dad being a victim of police brutality and, you know, having run-ins with the cops myself. So I'm not really new to it. I'm not, you know, I was pretty much aware of it. So I'm very happy and glad that more people are being brought aware to, like, the severity of it.
Kurt, from a student-athlete standpoint, what can you tell us about what they can do, do you think, to be able to help initiate some action and some change? What do you want to see from student-athletes on the college level right now?
Being on the college level, I want to see guys in the locker room have that conversation, because I think that's one of the most diverse environments that, you know, guys, you can't really create, you know, you can't really go and buy that, where guys can have intimate conversations about their experiences, and everyone's different, right? So you may have a player whose dad is a police chief, or a player that, you know, parents or uncle or someone that they're close to have, you know, bad experience with, you know, people within law enforcement. So to have those conversations and see it from both sides is very important. So raising awareness within first. And I think from a college level as well, is getting these cops and, you know, whether it's cops, law enforcement, sheriff, getting them in front of players as much as possible, you know, to bridge that communication. Because in my opinion, the way you handle a lot of situations shouldn't lead to violence in a lot of situations. So I think the first thing is communication. And if cops and law enforcement understand and know who their run-ins are with and those types of things, that can lead to things not escalating as well. So I think that could be a huge change.
We're talking to VFL former linebacker Kurt Majette on our Call of All segment. Kurt, issues like this have come up in the past. I would say most recently to this level would be Colin Kaepernick and the attention that he was trying to draw to police brutality, and it seemed to get lost by the method that he chose to draw that attention. But do you feel like maybe this time is different? Are you hopeful that this time is different with more people of all different races speaking out, and you have even more people in the NFL that aren't just the black athletes, but also the white athletes that are saying this has to stop? Are you hopeful that this go round is different?
Yeah, I am very hopeful. And, you know, I definitely agree with Cap. I think that what he did was huge, because it needed to be on a stage as prominent as the NFL to raise awareness. And I think a lot of people just try to misinterpret his message. And I think moving forward, we got to keep the, you know, the foot on the gas. You know, it can't slow down and just let this thing pass over. And I think over the past few weeks, something I thought that was very promising is it wasn't just people of color and minorities protesting. There were a lot of white counterparts, you know, whether standing side by side or, you know, protesting as well, and, you know, screaming for rights for everyone equally. So that's huge. And like I said, moving forward, I want to see the gas being pressed on it. You know, some things got to change, and only way things change is if we, you know, you got to press it and be persistent with it.
Kurt, tell people what you're doing right now. I know you're still working on that MBA at UT. What are you working on these days?
I am. It's been awesome. So I'm done in December, and I'm focusing in supply chain and entrepreneurship. So At the moment, I'm in the Knoxville area doing a little bit of remote work for a company called Honeywell. So it's been really cool working in the performance materials and technology group. So enjoying working out still, keeping my body in shape, and, you know, just doing a lot of different things. Planning to go diving this summer, so I'm very grateful.
I've seen you work out. I've seen you walk out of that hot yoga room and doing work, Kurt.
I was actually going to tease you and say, hey, can you get a workout in, please? Looking a little flabby there, but no, everybody that follows you on Instagram knows that's not the case.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Hey, Kurt, we're talking to VFL Kurt Majette, former linebacker at the University of Tennessee. When you hear Jeremy Pruitt make the comments, and he made them as recently as last night, we've got to use our platform at Tennessee to bring about positive change. Is that something that you can grasp onto, and is that going to be a point for fans to really get behind and be supportive of what the football team and other athletes want to do at the University of Tennessee?
Yeah, definitely. I like his words by saying that we need to use our platform, because the platform that student athletes and coaches alike have is, you know, second to none, especially in a university like Tennessee. You know, we have a wide reach all across the country. But I do think, like we said, being persistent with what we're doing and, you know, moving forward, being consistent and really fighting for that change and what we want to see. And, you know, I don't know how we're going to use that, how they're going to like measure that in a sense of what are we going to do to promote or to bring more people together. But having some initiatives throughout the year, I think that's huge. And as long as I'm in town, I'm always available. And the coaches and Coach Palmer know I'm VFL, so any way I can ever help.
Also, do you talk about with your former teammates about the impacts or the roles that they can also play? I mean, do y'all have a text chain going about, hey, we need to, this is the time that we step up and use our voices to relay either our experiences or what we would like to see happen?
Yeah, I've talked to quite a few guys, a little bit more than a handful of guys, just in different pockets. And I have a couple small group messages. And we've all talked about certain things, but we do need to make a bigger group message probably, and just get guys chatting and see, you know, because I think the more the better. The more people we have, the better.
Kurt, you kind of alluded to it a little bit in all the diversity in, you know, on college teams. But one of the topics has been about sports, that diversity that is alleged in sports, that maybe the NFL doesn't have that, that there's still racism in the National Football League, and there's the Kaepernick thing, there's the Rooney Rule, and there's a lot of factors involved in that. But in terms of the locker room, the player to player, in your experience, how much different was that than maybe the college level in terms of any racial divide in your experience?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, how different was the NFL in terms of any sort of in locker room racial divide or tension, anything like that, versus what you experienced in college?
It's hard to say. Each locker room is different, but it's rare to see racist players, and if they are, or anything in the locker room, is very, very rare. And I can't really say no guys in the locker room walking around with a KKK sticker on his, you know, so you, and they're probably not going to say nothing crazy, you know, so I don't know. In that sense, I think when they talk about NFL having racist things, I think it's more so like the systematic side of it, with I think it's like less than 3%, or I forget what the number was, but just having like some of those people, having people of color in those positions, that's sustainable and long term, like head coaches and, you know, GMs and whatnot like that. So I think it's looking at it from that perspective. I'm saying in college football, I haven't really looked at the numbers, but something I do want to hit on is that college football players, you know, a lot of times we live in a bubble, and it's so important to have these conversations with our black athletes and, you know, get guys from all over the country. If we, once they leave that bubble, you know, they're another black man in America, you know, and a black man in Tennessee or whatever the situation may be or wherever you are. So you're running with a cop is still daunting and can be scary, right? So how do we mitigate that, you know, and how do we raise awareness to that? So that's, you know, that's my point. That's something I want to get across.
We're talking to VFL Kurt Majid. I think that's a good point, is how when you leave the complex or when you leave the practice field, you know, you're in society and how should you act and how should you expect to be treated? I think that's a very real conversation that a lot of people are now starting to evaluate. Kurt, before we let you go, we really appreciate your time. I know you've got a busy day ahead. I wanted to get your thoughts, though, really quickly on coaching during the coronavirus and how crazy this offseason has been. And is there anyone that you would have been worried about on one of your teams maybe not getting in enough workouts at home whenever the coaches weren't, you know, sitting there making them grind?
I think that it's interesting from the NFL to the college level. I was with back home with a lot of my good friends and talking to them about, you know, making sure, like, how are they preparing to make sure they're beyond ready when that number is called to go back. And I don't know how productive the Zoom calls really can be, you know, especially with guys just, you know, probably laying down in bed watching coaches on Zoom. But that's interesting. And then some of the workouts and stuff. But I don't know. Let me think, what teammate would I say? Definitely like an O-line.
Yes. Hey, we were all thinking that. We were all thinking that, Kurt. Yes. Not the stereotype of position, but they like to eat.
Yeah. And the only workout they'd probably be doing is like basketball. I don't know why O-linemen think they're like good in basketball, but that's probably what I would. Yeah.
I love it. And I'm not throwing stones because I would have been one of the people that my coaches would have been most worried about. Like, where are your priorities at, Heather? I'd be like, oh, you know, they're a little different.
Right.
So, yeah. Hey, Kurt, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad you're back in Knoxville and good luck and continued success. And we hope to catch up with you again sometime soon.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you, Heather. Thanks, man.
All right. That is Kurt Majid, VFL, former linebacker at the University of Tennessee. Yeah, I was not throwing stones, Vince, at offensive linemen. I just know. I mean, the biggest thing, they got to keep their weight up. That's what they're, you know, is harped on them from day one. And then they might not be getting all the cardio in. It happens. But I very much want to fit into that category, too.
You're not alone in that.
Yeah, I was always better with a trainer than without a trainer. So, hey, 656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. We're taking your phone calls today. A couple of quick reminders. We've got Mike Strange coming up after the top of the hour, so less than 20 minutes away. Mike Strange, formerly of the Knoxville News Sentinel, now of the Hall Shopper, set to join us to reflect on Johnny Majors. And coming up next, we've got the face-off, me versus Vince. On Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
You ever notice how stations that promote less talk never actually say anything worth hearing in the first place? We talk sports all the time. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Closing out hour number one. Sun's coming out there, Vince Ferrara. It was a little overcast a few minutes ago, so glad to see some sunshine. How is it in your way, your neck of the woods?
It's poking out, but it's kind of a haze more so than sunshine. It's still mostly cloudy here.
I think it's on the way because our weather kind of moves up through that Hardin Valley, Oak Ridge area, so I think it's on its way. So give it about 15 minutes, and then I'll check back with you. But today, we got to duke it out. It's time for the face-off.
Do you want some? Come get some!
Head to head, toe to toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man! presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
All right, Sam Foreman, who's back at the Budweiser Studios. What do you have for us today, Sam?
All right, to start off today, guys, would you like to see more football teams help their players register to vote like Missouri did yesterday?
This is a no-brainer. I think this is absolutely, this is how you spark real change. You let them know that they have this power with their vote and, you know, teaching guys how to vote responsibly, you know, what to look for in different candidates. I think we can start focusing a little bit, especially in the off season, on making these men well-rounded by the time they leave college, and teaching them to exercise their right to vote is a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Productive. It helps them in making sure that they all have a voice. And because of their platform, it will encourage others to get out and vote as well and let their voices be heard also.
All right. Next up, do you agree or disagree with Marvin Wilson calling his new head coach Mike Norvell a liar on Twitter?
Woo, but that poop emoji was pretty strong. I don't know if that would have done that. But I don't have a problem with it today, man. If you feel like you are being portrayed in a different way, or your coach is trying to take advantage of a situation and not be truthful, especially during this period of time, I don't have a problem with him saying, hey, no, this is what actually happened.
I will say this. Maybe didn't handle it the perfect way in regards to the poop emoji and some other stuff. But, hey, listen. If you got an auto-generated text like Marvin Wilson alleges in his original tweet that Mike Norvell, it really wasn't even him texting you, it was just auto-generated, then yeah, I would be ticked off and I would want to out that too. I hope that this relationship can be repaired, but yeah, it's definitely strained at this point.
And we haven't heard a clarification or anything from Norvell yet. Hopefully we'll get that at some point.
Quote-unquote clarification.
Right, yeah.
The situation going down in Tallahassee right now is definitely complicated, that is for sure. Let's talk a little golf now. Should the PGA Tour suspend the Ryder Cup if fans can't be at Whistling Straits?
Listen, Steve Stricker, I hear you. He's one of the captains for the Ryder Cup team. He's a native of Wisconsin. He's like, personally, I would hate for fans to not be there. He said, if you made me play without fans, I think it would turn into a yawner of an event. And that's the best thing about the Ryder Cup. It is rowdy. I remember a few years ago when it was played at Bethpage Black and Sergio was just getting harassed left and right. It would be a step backwards without fans, but I think you still got to play it if you can.
I agree. It's one of those things where it is not ideal. It's the event that maybe is the most impacted without the fans on the PGA Tour. But it's better than nothing. It still will be viewed. So you got to view the fan part of it from that standpoint as well.
All right. Next up, today is National Cheese Day. Is a grilled cheese sandwich a Mount Rushmore sandwich?
It's a Mount Rushmore sandwich. I don't know that it's number one, but it's absolutely up there because of the versatility, the ease of access. Those kind of things. I know my favorite sandwich, and this is Mama Ferrara helping me out with this, prosciutto, mozzarella cheese, arugula lettuce on a ciabatta bun.
He's trying to sway this, Sam.
Oh, he is totally trying to. He played the Mama Ferrara cooking card. Well, it has been played.
Well played there, Vince Ferrara. I give up. Yes, grilled cheese is on the Mount Rushmore, and I think I just lost.
Hey, the fact that anyone can make it, regardless of age for the most part, I mean, you give me a grilled cheese sandwich and a bowl of tomato soup, you have a happy and content Sam Foreman for at least like 5 minutes before it's all probably gone off my plate anyways. Last question. Which newcomer on the Tennessee basketball team will have the biggest impact this upcoming season on the hardwood?
This is really hard. I don't know. I think there might be something to be said for EJ Anasicki coming in and playing an impactful role, but I think he will still be a role player. And I just don't know which way to go with the three incoming freshmen. I think this is a really hard one, Vince.
Well, I agree with you. Anasicki, because they need some more front court help, but I still think there's plenty of minutes needed by Fulkerson and Epons. And I think it's going to be one of the freshmen, because I think there's a great chance that either a Jaden Springer or Keon Johnson will start. I'll go Springer, but both of those guys can defend, can play multiple positions. So I'll say Springer.
All right. Vince may be figuring out how to really sway me in these. Mama Farrar card for the win. Vince gets the win.
Absolutely. I mean, when he said prosciutto and mozzarella, I was like, done. It's over.
I'm a foodie. I can't help it.
Chef Foreman, you learn from your mistakes, and I failed to use Mama Farrar's cooking to my advantage while I was racking up L's earlier in the week. So I figured, hey, let's get better from the experience.
Hey, I'm glad to know, Vince, and this goes back a couple weeks. I'm glad to know you learned the lesson from tempting me with a Mama Farrar-style pizza and then picking, what was it, pepperoni, when it was like National Pizza Day with you and Josh or something like that, and just you left it hanging so badly. But you learned your lesson this time. It works. Mama Farrar card for the win.
All right. Vince Ferrara gets the win. Actually, Mama Farrara gets the win. So we'll send her her gold star. Talking a little Tennessee basketball before we close out this hour, and you went with Jaden Springer. When you talk about what he brings to the table along with Keon Johnson, and I think, you know, Corey Walker, what he was the first to actually commit, wasn't he, Vince? Mm-hmm. And now, because they were recruiting the 2 5-stars, you kind of forget about Walker. But each of these guys is going to have to play, I think, a significant role for Tennessee this year.
Yeah, Walker is he's a high four. So because he's not one of the 2 5-stars, I think people maybe leave him behind a little bit. But he's at a position as sort of a swing inside-outside type of post. I think there's a few more options there. They need defenders in the backcourt and guys with athleticism create their own shot. So that's why I think you might lean towards Springer and Johnson a little bit. The defense is going to be the key. I think one or both of those guys has a great shot to start at some point for Tennessee.
Should I have answered the question more efficiently by saying, well, if Eve Pons doesn't come back, it'll be Corey Walker?
Yeah, I mean, but that also could take you back to your original point, and that's EJ Anasicki as well.
Yeah, very true.
Because that's a guy that's more ready to go, and Rick Barnes talked about it last night. I don't care what level you're on, to put up the numbers and the consistency that he did, scoring, rebounds, things like that, he really talked up EJ Anasicki. But if Pons isn't there, I think maybe that's the guy that could get the bigger bump than maybe even Corey Walker.
You'll hear from Rick Barnes later on in the show in the 1 o'clock hour. Rick Barnes was part of the Big Orange Connect event that was hosted by Bob Kessling and the University of Tennessee last night. A lot of different coaches participated. But coming up next, we're going to talk to former Knoxville News Sentinel reporter, now with the Hall Shopper, Mike Strange, on his thoughts of the Tennessee legend, Johnny Majors, passing away yesterday at the age of 85. We will get Mike's thoughts on covering Coach Majors, as well as just an in-depth look at his personality. That's coming up next on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.